everybody. Welcome to another episode of Supernatural George. I'm Mittens, and today we are going to be talking about Season 6, Episode 8, All Dogs Go to Heaven, also known as the one that proves that Soulless Sam was not living up to WWDWD. What would Dean Winchester do? Written by Adam Glass and directed by Phil Segrecia. Supernatural and their weird dog episodes. This is finally the episode where Soulless Sam drops all pretense that he's a real boy and really lays it out straight for Dean. And it's ugly and awful, but it also heavily informs my understanding of what a soul even is in Supernatural. I think the only thing truly worth taking away from this one is the conversation that Sam and Dean have at the end of the episode, and I'm going to hold off talking about the gravity of it until we get there, because honestly, I gotta throw out some sort of teaser to keep folks interested in listening to all the weird dog shit until we get there, because it is important. Well, that and the fact that Dean was right last episode when he called Sam out for having no instinct and making a complete lie of everyone else's assessment that Sam's been a better hunter for the last year. It's truly terrifying once you understand just how many innocent people he's likely killed while believing he was taking out a monster, just because he was completely incapable of telling the difference and lacked any mechanism to even care about that fact. Most of the interesting stuff in my tag for this episode is actually about other episodes, but pointing back at this episode as a reference about souls and angel grace and demons and the like, because all of canon seems to have accepted a few details from this, including the difference between angel grace and human souls, expanded on exponentially by human cast later on, and then by Jack and his tribulations with losing his grace and then losing his soul and how that affects him. But again, we'll talk about all that when we get there. As to the relevant bits of the myth arc of Season 6, we get monsters riled up because Crowley is hunting for alphas, and we learn almost nothing new about any of that. And we get our most unsettling look at what Sam is truly like without his soul that we've had so far. I mean, he doesn't even like dogs without a soul. That's kind of damning on its own right there. I'm not going to belabor this episode, though, because I'm going to try my best just to sail through the actual plot action of this one, except where it's relevant to characterization or my main meta takeaway about Sam and his missing soul. Because, confession time, this is not a good episode. There's almost nothing redeeming about it. It's honestly so bad that for my first half dozen rewatches of this series, at least, I would forget completely that it existed at all, until it came back up on the loop again and I'd have to suffer through it again. Now that I've been through the loop as many times as I have, I unfortunately am incapable of forgetting it exists anymore, but I still try. And as we often have in Supernatural, this one needs a bit of a disclaimer notice because a skinwalker is a thing from Native American lore, and it is nothing like what is portrayed here. And I'm sorry about that, but I'm just going to talk about it as it pertains to the canon of this show and not what it means in our universe. I don't think I'm interested in spending that much time on this episode, because again, it's not great. So with that understanding, let's jump right to the then segment and get this one over with. We open the then segment on a shot of the full moon and Dean refreshing our memories about werewolves and how they're badass, and he's got silver bullets to take them down with. We get a reminder of Madison the werewolf that Sam slept with even, and she turned while she was in bed with him. Because yes, Soulless Sam will bring that up during this episode. We'll get a reminder of the truth that something is really wrong with Sam, and he asks Dean for help, and Dean just punches him out because honestly, after everything Sam put Dean through all season, he kind of deserved it. And then Cass diagnosing Sam as not having a soul. that it's still trapped in the cage with Michael and Lucifer. We then get flashbacks to some of the monster-themed episodes so far this season. Shapeshifter, the Alphas, the Alpha Vampire last week. And the fact that Samuel had been working for Crowley, collecting Alphas, torturing them for information about the location of Purgatory. Dean then gets upset about the fact that he's working for Crowley, calls him a punk-ass crossroads demon, which we found out during Weekend at Bobby's, the fourth episode this season, that Crowley is no longer just a crossroads demon, but king of hell. Apparently Bobby did not share that information with Sam and Dean, or they hadn't really absorbed it or believed it. Crowley confirms it, that he's now king of hell, and he's the only one who has the power to release Sam's soul from the cage. And he will not do that unless they continue to work for him and bring him alphas. So they're kind of over a barrel, which ironically is the name of the motel that they stay in this episode. So they're telling us flat out, these guys are over a barrel. But that is not where this episode begins. We jump to now, at a bar called Susie's Honey Wagon, the name of which is vaguely reminiscent of the Honey Wagon strip club from season 4 and the Siren episode. Leaving that bar, though, is a man in a suit on the phone apparently with his dog sitter, telling him that he'll be home soon, daddy loves him, and something looks at him through the bushes. Whatever it is jumps out, jumps up on his car, smashes through his windshield, scares the crap out of him before crashing through the windshield and killing him in a bloody splat. And then we jump to the title card. And I swear I'm not going to go through this entire episode in that sort of detail, but just the setup that this guy is clearly an animal lover. He loves his dog. Talks to his dog sitter like it was a babysitter. You know, did you take him to the park? Did he make pee-pee and poo-poo? Like, he's clearly a dog lover. He loves his pet. And yet, in this episode, he gets slaughtered by, apparently, a dog. This is not someone who was actively harming dogs or standing in the way of the dog agenda, but he'd done something on a human level to merit death. We then cut to Fat Mac's Rib Shack with a very angry pig on their sign, and Sam and Dean are enjoying barbecue lunch outside. Dean's on the phone with Bobby, telling him there's got to be another way to get Sam's soul back, blah, 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 because they're not going to keep working for Crowley. And just then, Crowley appears behind Dean and is like, oh, you're not going to what for Crowley? Crowley makes a joke about give Bobby Singer a kiss for me. And Dean gets off the phone and sits down to deal with whatever Crowley has shown up to torment them with. Dean is adamantly opposed to working for Crowley. Crowley's like, you've been working me for a long time, your brother even longer. And Sam's like, yeah, well, we didn't know. And Crowley is just dismissive of that. He's like, Sam, you would sell your brother for a dollar if you really wanted a soda right now. You didn't care that you were working for me until your brother showed up and told you you should. Crowley starts to tell them that he's got a job for them, and Dean's like, no, I'm not doing it. Nothing you can say will make me do it. And Crowley is like, I'll bet you 10 quid you will, and touches the back of Sam's hand and burns it. And we hear like the whispery hell magic sound, and Crowley insists that he owns Sam. So you're going to continue working for me, or you're never going to get his soul back. Not only that, Crowley has the power to send Sam's body back to hell to be tortured eternally. And Dean might be able to endure any amount of torture himself, but even soulless, he's not going to let his brother suffer that. Crowley sweetens the deal. He says, well, if you give me one alpha, I'll give Sam his soul back. And Sam is rightly like, what, alpha vamp not good enough for you? We just did that last week. Crowley's like, don't push your nose into other people's business. Apparently, one more alpha is needed. And since we know the alpha vampire will be back in later seasons, that Crowley didn't just kill him, but obviously made some sort of deal with him and released him or couldn't hold him. Crowley presents them with a newspaper of the attack we saw in the cold open. Apparently the man's chest was ripped open and his heart was taken. Sam believes that sounds like a werewolf, and Dean's like, no, it can't be. It's the wrong time of the month. There's no full moon. And Crowley points out that werewolves waiting for the full moon to turn is so last year, that now monsters don't obey their natural order. Something has agitated them, and it's, you know, because you're hunting for them and hunting their alphas, and they're forced to go outside the norms for their species and behave in ways that are upsetting the natural order everywhere. But Sam confirms that, yes, the monsters have been acting weird for a while, just like the djinn who were going after Sam and Dean in the first episode of this season. All the monsters are acting in weird ways. The vampires creating an army, and now apparently werewolves doing something weird. But I mean, we know this episode, it doesn't end up being werewolves, but kind of the same deal. But whether or not Dean wants to work for Crowley, this is an actual case. There is a monster that is killing people, and that does fall under the umbrella of things that are their thing. So, regretfully, he's going to go work the job. As they're driving toward the case, Sam is researching the dead guy, who apparently was a pretty terrible person. He might have loved his dog, but man, he was like a slumlord who owned a bunch of apartment buildings and a few houses that he rented out and was not a great landlord. And Dean is just irate that Sam is just going along with this, like not even showing the least bit of sign that he's pissed off that he's taking orders from a demon. And Sam's like, well, it's not like we have much choice. He's got us over a barrel, right? And this is still a case that they have to solve. Dean's like, I just need a moment to adjust to all of this. I don't even know who you are. And Sam's like, I'm still the same guy, all the same memories. I still think about some girl I had a crush on in high school. And he apologizes again for lying to Dean and the betrayal. And he's like, I'm trying. I'm doing the best I can to earn your trust back because I'm still your brother. Dean side-eyes him like, yeah, you're really not my brother, but we'll go with that for now. They get to the crime scene, and Dean is kind of shocked at how hostile Sam is towards the investigating detective. Basically insults the guy and just demands answers. They're in their FBI guys. But it's so un-Sam-like to be just openly antagonistic towards police. Dean had never even been that antagonistic toward police since maybe the pilot episode when Sam called him out for being a jerk. Like, they may never get chummy-chummy with cops, but they're at least professional. And what Sam just said was in no way professional. But the cops are investigating both of these deaths as animal attacks. And Dean's like, yeah, an animal out here on the commercial dock. What do you think, he came for the sailing? So even Dean got into the whole slightly less than professional vibe, but honestly was asking a real, true, and valid question. What was a wild animal, like a wolf, doing here in the middle of town on the commercial dock? The next morning, Dean wakes up. And we and Dean are both reminded that Sam does not sleep and that is freaking creepy. Sam brushes it off and he's just like, here's what I learned overnight. Sam found someone who connects all the victims together. And when they arrive at her house, Sam gets out of the car with his gun already in his hand. Like he's prepared to just go in there and murder somebody. He was worried last week that Dean was going to be the shoot first, ask questions later person, and they needed to ask questions. But instead, Sam is now the, I'm prepared to shoot anything that moves that doesn't even look slightly monstery. Even though they're literally doing this because Crowley is telling them that he will give them back Sam's soul if he does. Bring them alive, Alpha. Inside, there's a woman and her small child and their dog. And they're trying to speak to her boyfriend, who is just waking up now, kind of hungover, looking rough. And Dean even gets a chance to mock somebody about not being a morning person, even though Sam had already mocked him about the same thing a little while ago. But in a normal I'm a human being who requires sleep way, instead of in the I'm obviously not a nice person who is completely hungover way. The guy says he had a couple beers with his buddies, and Sam jumps right to accusatorily saying, if you just had beer, how come you're sweating vodka and you slept in those clothes? But we learn the dots that Sam had connected overnight. The person who had died the previous day was Cal's brother, who apparently was volatile. And, you know, you love your brother, even though you have your differences. And even though he'd called the cops on his brother the last time he was there because he shoved his girlfriend and been hostile towards them. And the man who died in the cold open was their landlord. They're both confused as to why the FBI is asking questions about these deaths, because both of them were supposedly animal attacks. Sam and Dean get up and leave, thank them for their time, and outside discuss that Cal's a real prince who doesn't even remember where he had been the previous night because he was blackout drunk. And Sam's like, okay, so do we take him out? And Dean's like, no, we actually make sure he's a werewolf before we go shooting him. Or before we, as Dean colorfully says, hand him over to a lifetime of demon rape. We're going to make sure that he's actually responsible for this. The salient point being that Sam didn't care. He was ready to just bag the guy, hand him over to Crowley, and call it case closed, even though it is so not closed. So tell me again how Sam's been a great hunter this year. According to him, he would have solved the case already, even though it wasn't solved at all. Later that night, we catch up with Sam and Dean, who've been following Cal all day. He's been to several bars, a strip club, now at a friend's place, just hanging out, drinking some more. Drinking so much that even Dean is judgmental. Dean's relatively convinced they've got nothing, that the guy is not their guy, and Sam's just like, no, let's wait and see. So they sit there until nearly sunrise. But it's now sunny enough that Dean has given up on this guy wolfing out for the night and begs to go back to the hotel to get a few hours of sleep, because Sam might not need it, but Dean still does. But they should have stuck around just a little bit longer, because when Cal leaves a few minutes later, he's confronted in the parking lot by his girlfriend's dog, Lucky. He's confused for a second until Lucky knocks him over, drags him by the truck, and we get a blood splatter. So Cal definitely was not our werewolf, but Lucky sure is something. After he kills the guy, we see from Lucky's point of view as he transfers from being a dog into being a naked dude. Naked dude goes back to the house where his owners think he's just a dog. He's standing there all naked, just watching the woman sleep, and then turns back into a dog and jumps up in bed with her. Creepy. Creepy, creepy, creepy. Sam and Dean come back to the crime scene later on and realize that it is definitely not Cal who was their guy then. And they're shocked that a werewolf would have attacked in broad daylight, because it's not a werewolf. But they don't know that yet. And Sam points out that means they're down to one suspect, a girlfriend. Sam asks Dean if he can do it, if he can shove her in the trunk and serve her up to Crowley. And Dean just looks at Sam like, are you even serious? We need actual proof before we do that, no matter how many suspects we might have. We could still be wrong. He's just sickened by how cavalier Sam is about all of this. But he confirms to Sam that, yes, leaving out the bit, if she's actually a werewolf, he can do it. Back at Mandy's house, we see she's caring for her son, who is sick. And Lucky is helping, bringing him a toy. Yes, Lucky loves you. Later on, Lucky's just sitting there watching the television news, like all dogs do, I guess. She makes a comment about it and tells him it's time to go for his walk, and notices a blood stain on his fur, thinks he's killed a bird, and calls him a bad dog for it. Sam and Dean pull up while they're out for their walk, and strangely enough, nobody has informed Mandy that Cal has been murdered overnight. And so it's left to them to break the news to this poor woman. And Sam is insistent that she come with them to answer a few questions. Dean tries to be nice about it, but Sam is just absolutely convinced that she must be the werewolf and is kind of hostile, not only to her, but to Dean. When Dean insists that, having listened to her story about having been up with her son who's sick all night, Sam's like, okay, get a friend or neighbor to watch him. It'll be fine. Because Sam doesn't give a shit one way or the other about this kid or her. And Dean's like, hang on a second. Is it all right if I talk to your son? Sam's like, what difference does that make, agent? And Dean's like, trust me, it's important. Because you, soulless bastard, do not understand human interactions and can't even see why this would be important. After Dean interviews the kid, Sam is still convinced that it was her, that she's lying. And Dean's like, you heard the kid. She's not lying. Nothing will convince Sam that she's not guilty just because he doesn't have another suspect to pin it on. It's obviously her to him, and he has no instinct to be able to tell. She might be lying about something, but it's not this. Sam suggests that Dean go check out the crime scene, see if there's any other evidence that would point to anyone else, and Sam will stay there and watch her. And Dean's like, oh, no. How about you go check out the crime scene, and I'll stay here and watch her. He doesn't trust Sam not to just throw her in a bag and call up Crowley. Sam's like, no, I still know how to do my job. Trust me, I'm just going to watch her. And Dean's like, oh God, you're asking me to trust you when you are in no way trustworthy about anything and you lie like butter doesn't melt in your mouth. So, like a creeper later that night, Sam's standing at the playground across the street, just staring at the house. When he sees the dog through the window, and then a second later, it turns into a naked dude. And Sam realizes, whoa, we're not looking at a werewolf. This is something completely different. But he does have another suspect now. Naked dude comes out, fully dressed now. Sam gets out a gun, cocks it, but he's having some sort of weird meeting in the dark with somebody else. Sam can't make out what they're saying, but it looks antagonistic by the forceful gestures the other man is using. And you'd think that alone would be enough to pique Sam's interest. Like, this guy who can turn into a dog and back into a dude is meeting up with somebody else late at night and getting chewed out by them and then just going right back home again. What's that other guy and who is he to this dog man? Is there another dog man? Maybe a higher one up the totem pole, since that's his job for Crowley. You'd think even if Sam's just like trying to bag this one dude for Crowley, that he'd at least be the tiniest smidgen interested in the larger network of dogmen that might be occupying this town. But no, he has zero natural curiosity about it. He's just going to follow orders as told and do the job that he thinks he's there to do. And Lucky the dog man, being a dog man, sniffs Sam at the park as he crosses back through, and he's like suspicious and on high alert. And Sam doesn't even know it. Lucky takes off running the other way, strips off his clothes, turns back into a dog, and is almost home when he's really not paying attention and gets hit by a car. The nice people who hit him feel terrible, load him into their minivan, and drive away before Sam can catch up. And oh, the irony of I hit a dog from season 8. That becomes the refrain of what Sam did for that entire year Dean was in purgatory. I hit a dog. We then cut back to Dean in the motel room, staring at his phone longingly as he looks at Lisa's entry in his phone book. And can't bring himself to call her. He hasn't dared to call her again since she unburdened the truth on him. I think it's ironic that he still has Christian's name in his phone book even after last week. And it was revealed that Christian was actually a demon, and real Christian has now been dead and come back with just the demon in him. I don't think you need to have him on speed dial anymore, Dean. While Dean just continues moping around their motel room, Sam calls him. Announces that it's not a werewolf, it's a skinwalker. Dean's like, what? We haven't seen one of those in years. That's super rare. Sam's like, yeah, I couldn't even remember the lore on it. Apparently, Sam already called Bobby to get the lore dump on the monster before he even bothered calling Dean. Dean just ignores that for now. Sam fills him in that they can turn somebody with just a bite. They're werewolf cousins. Silver will drop them. They chow hearts like sausages. Dean asks if he caught him, and Sam's like, no, but I have an idea where he is. Animal control. The next day at the animal shelter, Lucky's in a cage, and therefore a captive audience. Dean gets down, shows him he's got silver bullets in his gun. Lucky's been warned, they know what he is. And Dean asks if he'd like to do this the easy way, and holds up a set of clothes, or the hard way, and holds up a choke collar. And Sam laughs. Sam's been standing in the background, tossing a ball from hand to hand, like, oh yeah, I might play with you, little dog. Dean's like, looks over at Sam, and he's like, soul or not, that was funny. Lucky chooses human clothes. They take him back to the motel, have him tied up with rope and silver chains. Sam asks him why he's even shacked up with this family. Do you like to play with your food? Is it a kinky thing? And he starts talking to the man like he is a dog. Roll over. Speak. The guy tells him to go to hell, and Sam's just like, already been. Didn't agree with me. Sam threatens to start carving bits off of him with a silver knife until he tells them what they want to know. Lucky tries to be brave about it, like, you do what you gotta do. And Dean holds up a hand to stop Sam, because Dean understands this from the perspective of a human being with a soul. He's like, you don't have to defend to me why you wanted to protect your family. I get it. You killed every threat that came near them. The abusive brother of the girl's boyfriend who'd shoved her and threatened her. The landlord who'd been ready to evict them. And Cal, the abusive boyfriend who just treated her like dirt and went out drinking every night and was a terrible father to the kid. What Dean really wants to know is who's the guy that he met up with in the park. Is he a skinwalker too? Dean takes the angle of, sooner or later, whatever crap you're involved in is going to come for her and the little boy that you actually care about. Unless you want to get them killed too, please tell us what the hell is going on here. That breaks Lucky. He's like, okay, yeah, these guys are going to protect the people I love. That's good enough for me. He tells them that, yes, the other guy is a whatever it is that I am. He doesn't even know that he's a skinwalker or what that means. But he also says that the other guy is not the only other one. There's lots of them. About 30 of them have been recruited. So he hasn't been a skinwalker for long. More monster shenanigans, building up their little armies. They're all just waiting for the signal to turn on their families, change them all in one night, and then the 30 of them will be like 150 people, all skinwalkers now. They're a sleeper cell. Lucky tells them about the pack leader who would give the order, and Sam asks if it's the Alpha, the most powerful skinwalker, the original one. And the guy's like, oh no, I'm pretty sure there's groups like ours everywhere, in all kinds of towns. Which is just wildly unsettling to Dean. Sam gives up his final shred of having any sort of compassion or even care about this person, and throws a ball and tells him to go get it. Dean tells Sam he's not being helpful, and Lucky's like, fetch this, dick. Dean approaches him from an understanding of humanity. What are you going to do to that little boy? Are you going to put your jaws around his throat and bite down while he cries for his mommy? And Dean throws out, because these are the only people that have ever actually cared about you in your pathetic life. Because he'd been homeless before this. His life had been awful, and he even admitted that. And Dean is, in his mind, comparing this to his situation with Lisa and Ben. What he almost did to them when he was a vampire, when he was a monster. And he realized what he could have done to them. Ripped their throats out. And he's throwing that baggage at this poor man, who has honestly a similar kind of baggage. He's really a monster deep down. They think he's this tame family pet. Dean, Lisa treated him like some sort of tame family pet, guard dog to her kid, you know? Dean's always the dog in Supernatural. If there's a dog metaphor to be made, they will put Dean in the place of the dog. And eventually, they'll put Cass in that place too. But for now, it's mostly Dean. Later on, as they're preparing on this raid on the pack leader, Sam asks how they're supposed to get close to something that can smell them from 100 yards away. And Dean's like, easy. And he opens the case in the trunk, and it's a sniper rifle. He just intends to shoot it from 1,000 yards. Sam's like, you're just gonna kill it? Crowley won't be too happy about that. And Dean's like, I don't give a rat's ass. And Sam is just trying to tiptoe around the moral implications and what this might mean for his soul that Dean is apparently being extremely cavalier with right now. Sam's like, if we take this pack leader to Crowley, it could lead us to an alpha, and Crowley would give us my soul back. And Dean's like, yeah, but if we get near this pack leader and he sends the signal out, that's 150 people getting turned into monsters in one fell swoop. Do you really want that on your conscience? And Sam's like, no, I'm just asking. And Dean realizes that Sam has no moral compass for any of this. Dean just can't take it anymore. He confronts Sam and says, you keep saying you're just folks, that you're the same guy you've always been, but I don't even know what you are. You are not Sam. Dean just tells him to stop pretending you're Sam with Sam's morality. It's not helping either of us. And poor Sam has no idea what to even do in this circumstance. You know, he's been doing his best to pretend to be Sam that Dean would recognize and understand and interact with. And not even this is enough of dropping the act to satisfy Dean. He doesn't know what to do. Sam and Dean set up their sniper rifle nest on the roof of an adjacent building to the PAX headquarters building. Lucky's pacing outside, waiting for his big bosses to show up. Dean's watching him through the scope on the rifle, and Sam's just preparing weapons. And he's like, he looks nervous, right? And Dean's like, yeah, wouldn't you be? And Sam's like, I'd double cross us. Because that's Lucky's best bet if he wants to keep breathing. He'd out us to the pack and let them do whatever they're going to do. Dean's like, no, he's not going to do that because he actually cares about that family. He does not want to put them at risk. At which point, Sam doubles down on the, nah, I'd double cross us. And then luckily the conversation is cut short when an SUV speeds into the parking lot. They have to figure out which of the men that gets out of the SUV is their guy. Plus a bunch more Skinwalker guys come out of the warehouse behind them. And before Dean can get a clean shot once they figure out who the pack leader is, they bring out Mandy and her son. Sam urges Dean to take the shot, and he says Mandy's standing between Dean and the pack leader. And Sam urges him to take the shot anyway. Kill this innocent woman holding her son, terrified for her life, been abducted by these strange men. Dean's like, no, I'm not going to kill this innocent woman. He's like, we only get one shot at this. He wouldn't even shoot him through another one of the skinwalkers because he's not sure that that would actually kill him. And not killing him would mean instant death for all of those people who would be instantly turned. And Sam is kind of pissed that Dean did not take the shot. Sam's like, okay, so plan B? Dean's like, we've got one. We cut to inside the warehouse where Mandy is begging for her son's life. She's like, whatever you want. Half a dozen scary, strange men. Just let my son go. Poor Lucky, she doesn't recognize in his human form, looks absolutely downtrodden. Like these dudes who said they were going to protect my family if I gave them this information, and it did not pan out. The bodyguard driver type who'd been yelling at Lucky in the playground earlier is played by Alex Ponovic, who you may recognize better as Gunnar Lawless, Dean's wrestling idol from season 11. He explains to Lucky what's going on, that the boss is upset with him for all of these unauthorized murders that he did without asking permission that outed their whole pack. And that's why his family is being punished and he's being punished for refusing to follow orders and not do these murders. To prove his loyalty to the pack, Lucky is ordered to turn both Mandy and her son right now while the rest of the pack watches. And he can't bring himself to do that to her. Before he is forced to make a choice, turn them or I kill you all, Sam comes in, just opens fire on all the skinwalkers. Lucky finds where Mandy and her son are hiding. He tries to urge them to come with him, that he's trying to protect them. She's like, who are you? I don't even know you. He's like, yes, you do. You can trust me. Come on with me. But through his rifle scope, Dean gets proof that he was right about Lucky. Lucky would not betray his family, even if it costs him everything in the process, which is kind of what not betraying Dean's family cost him. Lucky gets his family to barricade themselves into an office inside this warehouse and essentially stands guard. Sam and Dean are hunting the last of the skinwalkers. The one Sam was hunting turned into a dog. Another one turned dog form and was ready to pounce at Dean. His sniper rifle, though, was caught in a grate and he couldn't pull it free to point at the guy. But he had a handgun with silver bullets in it as well and just killed the dog. It fell to the ground and it was human again. But at last, the gunner Lawless, Alex Ponovic, skinwalker, finds Lucky guarding his family. And he's offended. He's like, you're protecting them over your pack? Lucky once again stands up for his family and just punches this much larger man in the face, who's then like, I was going to turn your family so you'd at least get to keep them as your family, but now I'm just going to kill them. And he flings Lucky against the door, and Lucky has no choice. He takes one last look at Mandy because he knows his life with her is never going to be the same after she watches this. And he turns into the dog. Gunner, because he doesn't really have a name in this episode. So we're going to call him that. Is like, oh, so you think this is going to be a dog fight? No. He pulls out a gun and shoots Lucky with a silver bullet. It doesn't kill him immediately. Mandy's horrified, like, this guy just shot my dog. A dog. Just as he's closing in on Lucky for the kill shot, Dean gets him in his sights and kills him instead. Sam's scoping out the other side of the warehouse when he finally sees that the only one who hasn't turned human again is Lucky, and he's just lying there injured. Sam quietly checks his gun to make sure he has more bullets, and he's closing in to kill Lucky. And that proves that Sam is just, in this state, not Sam. Because actual Sam would never hurt a dog intentionally. By the time Sam closes in enough to get a shot at Lucky, though, Lucky's gone. He's very lucky. The next day, Lucky turns back up at her house and knocks on the door like a person just to thank her that nobody's ever been as nice to him. They were the best family he ever had, and she's just too disgusted and distressed by everything she's been through. And she's like, don't you ever come near me or my son ever again. And he's like, yeah. He wasn't that lucky in the end. But as he walks away, Mandy runs back to her window and looks out and sees him turn back into the dog. And he just like gives up on his own humanity and walks off into the sunset. Sam and Dean don't even consider recapturing him and turning him over to Crowley because he is the lowest of the low on the skinwalker totem pole and his entire pack is dead. He's got no pack leader, let alone alpha, to connect back to. He's on his own now. Turning him over to Crowley at this point would be sending him to be tortured to death for nothing. But Sam and Dean are at a park where they got lunch. And there's dogs playing and a woman jogging with her dog. And Dean's just like, yeah, I'm never going to look at dogs the same. And it's like, Dean, you never liked dogs in the first place. This isn't materially going to change much for you. And Dean's like, but it makes you wonder how many packs are out there just waiting for the signal. And Sam hadn't even considered it. Hadn't even occurred to him to think about it. Sam chooses this moment to just lay it all out for Dean. He's like, I've been thinking about what you said, and it's true. I am not your Sam. All this stuff about being your Sam is just crap. Dean is like, okay. Sam tells him that he doesn't care about Lisa and Ben. He's just making small talk whenever he brings them up. Dean's like, what, this is supposed to make me feel better? Sam's like, no, I just don't care about them. That's just how it is. I don't even really care about you, except that I need you to help me get my soul back. And he realizes that Dean is just not going to stick around much longer unless Sam starts being brutally, completely honest with him about it. And he unburdens to Dean. I've done a lot worse than you know. He confesses to killing innocent people, but it's not something the old him could have done. Sam wonders if he should feel guilty about it, but he doesn't, and Dean can't take much more of this. You know, he wanted the truth, and he wanted Sam to admit that he really isn't his brother, because Dean is just constantly skeeved by the guy. He didn't need this complete brutal honesty. But we get to see how Sam has been struggling with this. He's like, I don't know if how I am now is better or worse, but I get the job done and nothing hurts. So in that way, he thinks it's probably good. He thinks that Sam, how he used to be, he struggled a lot more, but there are things about that old Sam that I should probably just go back to being him. Struggle and all, pain and all, caring about it. Maybe being a less ruthless and efficient hunter, maybe that's a trade-off I need to make. Dean's only reply to this is that that's very interesting. But he agrees that it is a step for Sam in the right direction, he believes. And he's in to help Sam, to help get his brother back. And that is where the episode ends. That conversation there is so important, not just for Sam, not just for the Sam and Dean relationship, not just for Sam wanting his soul back and understanding that what he is now is something that his old self with his soul would have been disgusted by, because Dean is, but we get to see him drop that mask completely and allow himself to be what he actually is without his soul and without putting up a mask the way Dean often does, putting on a mask of everything's going to be fine even when it's totally not. Sam has been playing a performance all season long to varying degrees of success that Dean has obviously seen through almost immediately. But it always stuns me that even after this whole experience, and once he's reunited with his full soul and everything, that Sam never goes back and really reflects on this and sees Dean's point of view through the lens of his experiences here as soulless Sam. There's never any deeper self-reflection from Sam later on, and it's just so frustratingly disappointing. But that's how the show goes. We get in-depth into Dean, but we get soulless Sam. Without Sam. Sans Sam. But Sam's identity here, without his soul, will be useful in comparing what an angel is to what a human is. Talking about having no emotions and stuff like that, it almost strikes me as, are angels kind of like this soulless being? And they do admit, Cass, when he talked to Crowley in The Man Who Would Be King, tells him, I don't have a soul to trade, you ass, I'm an angel. And it's like, well, Cass, maybe you have a little one growing in there somewhere. But he will definitely have one once he becomes fully human, because he doesn't just die and he doesn't behave like a soulless human does. Cass spawns a soul, or whatever he is without the angelic power-up, is equivalent to a human soul, and it's allowed to grow and flourish for the first time. And something unique happens to him. In a way, he's allowed to explore his actual human heart for the first time. And we'll see that play out again with Jack when he loses first his angelic grace and then his human soul. And what the trade-off is, when he has his grace removed, he changes. When he has his soul removed, he changes. So which bits of this makeup are which things? And what is your personality actually tied to? Both. Because Sam's body is functioning the same way as an angel in a vessel that doesn't have its own human soul to play with. And yet Cass is never like that. He is at the beginning. He's very heartless and I can't care about that, even at the beginning of this season. But it's very clear that underneath, Cass is caring about that. And he did all of this, even if he doesn't quite understand why yet, to protect Dean. So all of this is still about the souls. All of season 6 is just about the souls in every respect. That's a very important conversation, and someday I'll probably do a special episode just about how I see angel grace and human souls and the interplay between them versus demons. But until then, I think this is going to have to suffice, because this episode is very short already, but man, I was kind of hoping it would be shorter. Because I had to actually spend several hours interacting with this episode against my will. Because unfortunately it exists. It's not the worst episode of Supernatural, but it's in my bottom 10 for sure, if not bottom 5. So at least it's over. That conversation at the end is just too important. It's like, why do they always stick really important conversations about Sam and Dean at the end of really terrible episodes? The one with the creepy girl who lived in the wall, this episode. Just, they always do that. And it's like, nobody ever remembers the important conversation that's actually meta-relevant and relevant to the overall character and themes of the season. And yet, they stick them on really bad episodes that people are always like, I always skip that one. Like, okay, you've missed important context then. But I'm here to point it out. So hopefully everybody's stuck through the end of this episode, because to me, that final conversation between them is worth it. Dean is completely skeeved, but he is all aboard the Save Sam train. He's just not willing to sacrifice hundreds of innocent people in order to do it. He'll find another way. They'll find another monster to hunt. Crowley will just have to be pissed at them for letting this group go or slaughtering them. Before they could do harm to 100+ innocent people. And as far as Dean's concerned, this was a very successful hunt. They killed the bad things that were hurting all these innocent families, and they did what they set out to do. What Dean set out to do. Crowley may have had them on alpha duty, but if Dean's getting sent on hunts, he's going to do it his way. He's not in Crowley's employ. And if Crowley's the only way to Sam's soul, Dean's going to spend every free moment trying to find another way to get to Sam's soul. To the point where Dean will consider throwing himself on grenades in just a couple weeks. But we've got a couple more interesting episodes to get through, and bouncing back from one of the worst episodes of the series to one of my favorite episodes of this season. Tune in next week for Season 6, Episode 9, Clap Your Hands If You Believe. Our nod to the X-Files, like the biggest nod to the X-Files the show has ever done. Literally, the opening title sequence is X-Files themed. Even Cass gets a shout out in the opening credits because he's a series regular, even if he's not even in the episode in any way. So, at least I appreciate that. It's Ben Edlund, and it's fun. Anyway. I'm really not looking forward to going back and editing this episode. It needs a lot of editing. But I don't know how many times I called them shapeshifters instead of skinwalkers, but I bet it's a lot. I'm going to have to edit all those. Or maybe I just won't. Maybe I'll just leave this as the disclaimer at the end of the episode. Anyway, I don't know if I actually have anything else relevant to say about this one. I got out all my stuff about Sam and his soullessness and what a human soul versus angel grace is in the context of this one single episode, without delving into my entire angel grace tag, and how this episode sort of proves to me that even if Cass had something akin to humanity about him as an angel, as a pure angel before this, like when Alfie tells them that Cass's problem was always that he had too much heart, and it's like, I don't think that assessment means the same thing coming from an angel as it would a human. And I think Alfie's assessment of Cass, talking about his heart, and I don't think that's talking about humanity or something emotional in a human way. I still think it's this alien care of the species of humanity that even Lucky had for his family, not like actual human love, if that makes sense. But I truly do not think Cass understood love, humanity, human emotions until he becomes human. And he was close to human back in season 5 and got an inkling, a taste of it. And he thinks he understands it now, but he still doesn't. And Alfie certainly wouldn't consider Cass's actions now as coming from a place of too much heart. And even standing up for humanity and saying, don't slaughter this whole city like Sodom and Gomorrah, where Cass supposedly was a witness, or the slaughter of the firstborns in Egypt, that Naomi will say, no, you were there. And Cass has no memory of it because it was wiped because he protested, not out of anything approaching human emotion, but just because it was the objectively right thing to do to protest. That's a terrible order. Slaughtering all these innocent babies? You think that's right? So I think a lot of fandom reads way more into those statements about Cass and how he was before than I choose to. I don't think that Cass actually had human feelings or emotions, and that his care for humanity was more based in the orders he believed God left them to care and watch out for humanity. And he believed that the orders he was getting were wrong. He cared too much about humanity from the point of view of other angels, not from the point of view of humans, who would say he didn't even come close to caring enough, because he clearly did nothing about it, even in his protest, that angels saw as outrageous. Anyway, point of view, and I think it colors a lot of how angels are portrayed on the show, and that they're read into as being much more human than I personally read them as. Had to get that out there. Anyway, until next week, you can find me on Tumblr at MittensMorgul or at SPNGeorge. You can find me on Discord, where I am now officially just MittensMorgul. Or you can email me at MittensMorgul@gmail.com. And I look forward to talking to everybody again real soon. And I really, really mean that one this week, because I could talk all day long about angels and grace and humans and souls. Demons. Let's talk about demons too in the same mix, because Cass understands what it is to be a demon and to not be able to feel true love, true joy, but also not being able to feel pain, emotional pain, as a demon or as an angel. He understands because he gave up true human pain when he took on that grace again. He could no longer feel it either. And he understood why Dean wanted to stay a demon and not feel all that pain. He may not be able to feel joy as a demon either, but at least he doesn't have to feel that suffering. Dean will even tell Sam in next week's episode, when Sam's like, what? So having a soul is just suffering? And Dean's like, yes. Sam's like, well, why would I want that? And Dean's like, because it's the only game in town. If you want to be able to experience the good, you've got to take the baggage that comes along with that. And that's feeling sadness and pain and loss and grief and guilt. And it comes right alongside, but it's worth it. The good stuff is more than worth it in Dean's estimation. That colors basically every interaction about morality and humanity for the rest of the series. So join me next week, because it's going to be way better than this one was. Anyway, have a good one, everyone.